Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about not that for more? You know what I mean?
And Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Rolling and bowling this Friday on a football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Kevin. It's Donnie. It's the best hour of your day. It might be the best hour of your weekend with how much football we have to cram into 1 hour. But I start by saying this. Get on the air. Talk to Christian behind the scenes, our producer. And he says he's doing some things here for the boss. That's right. There's a couple bowl games on, Kevin. Had no idea. Tuned in. And now I see Kentucky wrecking Clemson and Notre Dame from the Tony the Tiger Bowl coming up next. How we feeling?
I feel great. I got a little bit of juice in this Kentucky-Clemson game last night. See, now this is where I'm not upset, annoyed, but you are out on bowl season. I know that.
Yes.
And it cost you a couple dollars last night because I saw your reaction when I said it to you. Hold on. Now
the one and ones,
but Donnie minus 125 in a game with a total of 60, Arizona, Oklahoma. Now, admittedly, it took a little bit of work to get there, but it was so up your alley. Despite knowing your disdain for bowl season, ran to tell you about it. I do respect you didn't get involved. I bet the same thing again in Kentucky Clemson. So we're looking for a Clemson rushing touchdown DRS.
Oh, that should be. I mean, that's as Will Shipley in. Is it already?
Oh no, are we looking for a passing touchdown? No, excuse me. Passing touchdown. You're right. I think Maffa, though, stole the touchdown from him, believe it or not.
How about that? Oh, yeah, no kidding. Maffa, who was the superstar running back out of nowhere, taking stops here from my guy, Will. Let's welcome in the radio audience. It's a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Bowl games obviously underway here. Clemson and Kentucky about to get going here. Notre Dame and Oregon State, but big doings this weekend across the board. You have massive bowl implications in college football playoff style, which is Monday. Keep in mind, we will not have programming here for the radio, which includes us. We'll be on the radio, but just not me and KW here on Moneyline. So we're going to have to get a little feel of which way those two games are going. I got to tell you, I'm swaying back to Michigan side again. Just I don't know why. I just want to root. I just want to root for a running game. Does that make sense? I just want to root for a running game.
Milroe could run it a little. Milroe could run it a little. Why are you giving up? Now I just want to make this quick point here in the Tony the Tiger Bowl. I am trusting Lisi. He gets all credit or all blame for the over 39.5 in this football game. So I'm in the mix.
We're looking to open it up in this game.
You're not doing anything, Donnie, betting-wise, before the semifinal. Come on.
You know what? Hear me. You know what is wild, Kevin? I don't have – in bowl season, fully underway, I haven't bet a single bowl.
I'm not
talking about like a handicap, like, oh, I like this. Now, the one thing that kind of, you know, gets the juices going is like, man, what if I just was going to – not even handicap it, but just taking some of these games and being like, you know what, let me just go a rushing touchdown for a guy's name I know, just to like have action.
Yeah.
Like I've been so far off the radar. And again, it wasn't like coming on like a bit. Like Christian's like, hey, there's two. I was like, that's right. There's bowl games on today. Like no idea, inclination, or care about that. But as I preface by saying it, I can't wait for January the 1st.
Yeah.
And it's not even like, because Washington and Texas is going to be a good game. I'll probably be fast asleep when it, when you know, around it starts, or at least the first quarter, which I'm rooting for. I want Washington to win. But I haven't looked forward to a college football game more than this Michigan-Alabama game, because it's exactly what I want. It's also a team I hated all season long in Michigan and prayed they would get beat and ripped them for their schedule and said they shouldn't even make the college football playoff until obviously they started to play real teams like Penn State and Ohio State. They shouldn't even be in like the top five or top ten. It's disrespectful. Yeah. And now I find myself coming back to them like, I want to see 45 rushing attempts with a fullback and a double tight end set going right after Alabama, and I want to see if it works. Because I'm that type of player that used to play Madden and just take the biggest, beefiest running back and go online against another guy, run the clock down the one, and hand the football off to see if I could hold the football in the first and second half where the other guy couldn't get the ball. That's what I feel like I'm getting myself into here.
And again, it might work. I think the stunning thing is you rooting for, but this is what I'm trying to get confused. If you bet Michigan, right, you're someone who will bet against the Phillies if it makes sense, the Eagles if it makes sense. So that's not the point. My question is, but you keep saying you want to root for Michigan, and that goes against all of your college football principles. So that's where the confusion is starting to check in for me.
Which is great, because it means like I have a clear conscience on if I think I can win a bet. I don't care if I absolutely can't stand that football team. Michigan was a before foot. Now, granted, Florida State covered up a lot of flaws for me here, because Michigan would probably still be catching my ire at this point of the season. But Florida State took so much away, I was almost like whitewashing my brain that I don't really know that I hate Michigan. The concept of Michigan is what I love. There's not like Alabama goes, Nick Saban beats them 45-7. I'm going to laugh all the way. I'm like, that's hilarious. I love the fact Harbaugh's going to the pros. You know, they were never that good. There's that angle. But there's something in me that goes, man, if I just load up on running back props here, which means, you know, I've got over 25 carries, touchdown, I think 78.5 yards is the number that we're looking for here to go over. I think it can happen, and I'm sort of cheering on that, because Corum scores every game, and he's the only guy that's going to score a point for them. And it's like, why not just bet him?
What is his price for a touchdown? I mean, it's a very low total game.
200.
Yeah. If you can get a boost on it, though, maybe there you can do some work there.
Yeah, $10 boost, I'll be all about it. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, your boosts are no longer worth your time. What was I going to say, though? Harbaugh. You mentioned him going to the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, listen, I know the Michigan faithful have tried to pretend that we all make up the fact that he wants to go to the NFL. Basically, Michigan is offering him the biggest contract in the history of coaching. They're like, you just have to put a clause in that you won't try to leave for the NFL after the first year of the deal. And there's still been no reporting, Donnie, that the deal is done. Like, we are not making it up. It is a very real thing that he has his eye towards the NFL. The one thing I can't get a good grasp on is, what does Harbaugh need/want to happen in order for him to make that move to the next level? Like, win a title, thank you guys for everything, I'm going. Is it, no, the fire's too hot, I'm going to be suspended for a season, I'm out of here anyway. Like, that's what I don't have a great read on.
Yeah, well, that's what the read is at this point. All coaches are like that. Remember Pete Carroll's like, it was just time to move on. Loved USC. Let me try Seattle. No, Pete. They were going to absolutely ransack your house and, you know, go through every paper document you had, and we're going to burn you at the stake. That's why you left. That's when most people do leave. It's opportunistic. Hey, look, it's never going to get better here. And also, if he leaves Michigan, even though he's not going to win a championship, and obviously unless he does it this year, he left them in a better state than what they were when he got there.
Oh,
and
certainly.
He can rely on that. Like, hey, nobody, I'm never going to go back to Michigan, like, you traitor, you left. Like, it's never going to be that. He left I can now finally beat Ohio State. I don't care that I cheated my way to do a lot of things. Like, nobody cares. No fan base cares about that. I think the New England Patriots hate Bill Belichick, the fan base, because he was taping guys and cheating and deflating footballs. No. It's all about the bottom line. You got to win, and that's when they're going to love you. He has every step to move on now. Where he goes, I don't know, but there are some good job opportunities out there. Let's get you people set for a great football weekend right here on Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside, along with Kevin Walsh. And we do get some information coming through. Adam Schefter in the last hour. Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. cleared concussion protocol and is on track to play Sunday versus the Raiders. That is big-time news for that offense to sort of give them a jolt as they try to make the playoffs and or win the AFC South. Football games on currently right now. Kentucky 21, Clemson 10. About midway through the third quarter, Kentucky does have the football here. A lead. They are a dog in this game, so up double digits as a dog, fitting in nicely here. Ian Rappaport also tweets out about 15 minutes ago, Titans quarterback Will Levis returning from a high ankle sprain is in line to start, Coach Mike Vrabel told reporters. So that's pretty key as well. We'll set you up in just a little bit on that NFL slate coming up this weekend. Having said that, there was a game last night, and we didn't expect a lot of points. And neither did the odds makers. That game between the Jets and the Browns was fantastic because everything was so, so low, from quarterback props to throwing touchdown passes to running back props, anytime touchdown market, receiving props. It was fantastic. And the guys on the show last night, myself, Kevin, and Joe, really cashed in, and it was a lot of fun. And by the way, we usually make it through on that show. It's 7 to 9 Eastern. For the primetime games on Mondays and Thursdays. So we're usually able to make it just to right around make it through the first quarter. A lot of the props were already coming in, but we were getting a little bit worried, Kevin and myself here, about a certain wide receiver prop that we didn't know we were going to hit. Elijah Moore, even though that game, I believe, had, 27, 28 points, I want to say, on the board here for Cleveland, but Elijah Moore didn't even get a catch yet. We needed him to get at least four catches in that game. He finished with 5 for 61 and had him on one drive alone, caught four passes to cash in those tickets. It was a lot of fun, but the focus here now, moving forward, is what do we actually make of the Cleveland Browns? 11-5 on the season. Fantastic home football team, 8-1. Here's the problem. They're probably not going to be playing any home football games in the playoffs, and that could make the difference. But Joe Flacco goes into that football game, and at the FanDuel Sportsbook was listed at a 220.5 passing prop. Now, I altered it down to 200 as part of my parlay. My goodness, I wish I would have altered it up to 300 because he finished again with over 300 yards. But beggars can't be choosers. He got that relatively easily. Now, also, David Njoku was on fire to start that football game. Over 100 yards receiving in the first quarter alone. He only, as I say, finished with 134 yards in that game. But the question is, Amari Cooper didn't play. And some might think, like, well, he's really the only passing attack that you have, along with David Njoku over the middle. So you take away Amari Cooper, you got to lean on Elijah Moore, some other guys like Cedric Tillman, and maybe it doesn't work out in your favor because you're playing a quality defense in the New York Jets. Didn't matter, man. Joe Flacco averaged 10.7 yards per passing attempt last night. That's absolutely unbelievable. And without your big play threat, who had over 200 yards receiving and multiple touchdowns just the week before against the Houston Texans. I am so impressed with how Cleveland is winning these football games. Because it isn't any longer Nick Chubb. It isn't an ultra-athletic quarterback in Deshaun Watson. It's Joe Flacco from the pocket, relying on his wide receivers and scheme, and able to make those throws. He's been wonderful. Did you see the touchdown pass, by the way, to Elijah Moore? That little in-out play where you throw it before the wideout comes out of the break, and you just got to trust that he's going to be there? Fantastic stuff. We see so many times week to week here in the NFL, bad quarterback play where you're waiting for a guy to get open before you throw the football. And most of those quarterbacks are, you know, the guys with the cannon arms. But the simple fact to have an unbelievable arm like Joe Flacco does, still trust your new wide receivers and be able to make those plays, it's really fun to watch. Is it going to lead to an AFC championship or a Super Bowl? Probably not. But you can't tell me they won that game last night. Next week, I believe they play the Cincinnati Bengals. They win that game. They are smoking hot heading into the playoffs. And probably going to catch a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars who backed into the playoffs due to their division. That could get interesting. By the way, other things around the NFL. Bengals running back Joe Mixon shows up with an ankle issue and it was limited today. but he doesn't have a game status, so he's good to go. Ja'Marr Chase, also for the Bengals, will be active this weekend, but he is listed as questionable right now, so something to keep an eye on. A lot of big doings around the NFL. One of my favorite jokes here, Kevin, was I was talking about Jacoby Brissett getting a start, going like, hey, man, it's great that I'm starting, but I got to go against the 49ers. And then the last week against Dallas, my offensive line stinks. No surprise, K-Dub, he comes up with a hamstring injury today, so we'll see if he's even activated on Sunday, and will it be Sam Howe back under center? How about that?
I don't believe that he intentionally took himself out of the game.
Good move. Save yourself for next year.
No, because reality is, Jacoby Brissett, now if he went out there and lit up the Niners, I could see someone talking themselves into Jacoby Brissett.
Oh my God.
I think they've scored a touchdown on every possession he's had for them? It's not obviously been a major sample size. I don't know. It just in this league, Brissett coming in and looking awesome with Bieniemy. I'd say Bieniemy's the big winner, right? Like Bieniemy's like, whoa. Where are you going? I need you for this game here. But the problem for that team is, as bad as Sam Howell is as at no point has it been their offense. I mean, their defense is just unforgivably terrible.
Yeah. Then you trade away your best two players, and away you went. And it was just a bad team all the way through. It was like this year. Like, what did you want to see out of them? Well, just give us some good offense. We should be able to hang around the defense. Mm-hmm. They've just been bad across the board. They're going to get banged up in their last two games, which, again, will help them out once they get some better draft status, new ownership in there. Well, obviously, Ron Rivera will not be back next year. Just a matter of who that head coach is going to be. Is it going to be, you know, Eric Bieniemy? They're going to move on and go with somebody else. We won't know that for sure. Clemson got the football back here, so it's still 21-10. About 6 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Quarterback running for about a 15-yard gain to keep the chains moving. No score yet in Oregon State, Notre Dame, just underway. I believe Oregon State had the football first, so I'm looking at seeing now Notre Dame has the ball. So one possession down, and Notre Dame is up on deck. Is there any other games today or even tomorrow, bowl-wise, you're looking at?
Well, I was going to ask you this, right? So the next game is at 3:30, Iowa State-Memphis, and then there's no games until 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Is the Cotton Bowl one of those staples where they get to say, hey, we don't play against anyone? Like, we get to run solo? Like, a four-game slate, Donnie, that happens with three of the games will all be done before 6 o'clock. Like, is that the Cotton Bowl bullying out the rest? What is that? That just surprises me.
I remember back in the day when I was growing up, the Cotton Bowl was a New Year's Day game, which most of them were at that point anyway. They didn't start filtering down for bowl season until TV was like, you know what? Let's not collapse this into one day. Let's go over 3 weeks. We can all make more money on that. But, yeah, I don't know if they have that type of pull. Like, the Rose Bowl really thought that was like, well, we'll just, you know, not have a college football playoff because we want to have the Rose Bowl, which I just leave them in the dust then. Just kick them out and never have the Rose Bowl again. But no, I don't think that's the case. No, any likings tonight, though, in those matchups?
I feel like I'm playing a little bit of catch-up because I like the over in this game and still do, but I don't know if you follow this line movement at all, Donnie. I mean, Missouri, Ohio State. Missouri at one point was favored in this game. I mean, now when you have Ohio State laying 5 here, and I haven't been able to figure out, is that, like, did Marvin Harrison Jr. commit to playing? Is that just an avalanche of money on game day?
Concord stunk, and now they have a real quarterback. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, but that's the guy who's stepping in, Donnie, is the guy that beat, like, the Kyle McCord beat out. You know what I mean? It is a very, very big move that, again, I'm just trying to make sure I have all the reasonings for, because I've been interested in this total. I didn't know if Missouri is missing a key guy. I've been trying to figure that out, actually, for a little bit now, and I have not seen a definitive word.
Kid Love throws a pretty good ball. They're on their own 15, just hit about maybe a 50, 60-yard play to the wide out here. Nice ball, wide open streak route, nobody paying attention. Should have been a touchdown. As a wide receiver, come on now. You get a 5-yard lead after that catch. You get caught like 10 yards later. Is what it is. But Notre Dame now on the 30-yard line and going in. We'll see where that turns up, if any points there. Another rush there for about 10 yards. So right around the red zone. Tomorrow's action in college football. Ole Miss, Penn State, Auburn, Maryland, Georgia, Florida State, which is now up to 20.5 across the board, followed by Toledo and Wyoming. And then away we go with a Sunday off in college football. And then Monday, the bangers begin at 5 o'clock, and that's Alabama and Michigan. It's a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie, Kevin. This is Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
News, notes, and handicaps. That's what we got. We hear four on a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Kevin here. Notre Dame is into the end zone on a third and goal touchdown pass. So it looks like it'll be 7-0 Notre Dame here over Oregon State. And away they go there. Tomorrow night kicks off in the NFL. One game, single slate, Saturday night main event. Detroit-Dallas. A lot on the line in this game. Total 52.5. Side here, FanDuel, showing 4.5. 6 is at DraftKings. 5.5. At BetMGM. Let me just see if that's still an accurate number here. Go right to the site. Yeah, it is. 4.5 minus 118. This morning, give out like a best bet for like the weekend. You know, you try to spread the board around. CeeDee Lamb's 98.5. He's going over that because have you people out here listening not understood when a wide receiver is angry and upset and blaming everybody, he might have a David Njoku first quarter tomorrow night and get his 98.5, Kevin.
Hold on. What is he upset and blaming everybody about? Didn't he have 100 yards?
He's saying he got all those yards. He was eaten, and then they just never called his number again for like 3.5 quarters. So he's blaming everybody that I'm upset. This isn't right. I'm dominant. You get me the football. We've seen this before.
No, you know what? I'd cut him.
You going under 98?
No. I'm going under receptions, Cooks. No touchdown. Because, Donnie, when AJ complains, right, because this is he's now the poster child for this, right? Yeah. When AJ complains, win or lose, it's you look at his stat line, you go, oh, I get it. CeeDee Lamb's complaining, 6 catches, 118 yards, a touchdown on 10 targets.
Yes.
I cut him. You know what? I'd trade him to the Eagles.
It's one of those where you go up against another dominant wide receiver. You want to keep on eating here, and you're not allowed to do it. 98.5, and I'm going to go over. I actually think he gets that here. Other props in that game, Gallup, 16.5. Pollard, 18.5 reception yards. Ferguson, 48.5. And Cooks, 37.5. If you look at Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 82.5. I do think we get points, and I'm not buying this. It went from like 4.5 to 6 back to 4.5. I'm on Dallas tomorrow night. I think Dallas wins this football game.
They can win it. I don't expect. I'd rather take the points with Detroit there. I think their offense indoors is still something that I trust, and I think Detroit's defense might even be more likely to get a stop here in this game. Which there's probably not going to be a ton of. To your point here, this game should be trending towards an over. But by the way, just because you mentioned the 98.5 on CD, mm-hmm. It's 97.5 on Tyreek. In a game that Jalen Waddle's out for.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. It really is. Because you have to almost measure and say, does he just get the football a lot, or does, you know, Harbaugh and crew say, he's not going to beat us here, and there's no Waddle. So if Mostert on one leg is going to beat us, then so be it. That's the only thing that makes me nervous. And you're right, the thought process behind most people is like, oh, hold on now. Like, Waddle's out. Like, that means 15 catches for Tyreek Hill. But it also means that other side of the field you don't have to worry about. That's the only thing that gets me a little bit. Is it a Braxton Berrios game? Is that what you're trying to tell me here?
No, I'm trying to tell everybody's going to eat. Tyreek Hill should probably get back into the race for like the MVP award here with that performance, at least the offensive player of the year award.
For me, that 3.5, which you could probably get some threes out there, I don't see the Ravens losing the game. Now, granted, I didn't see the Ravens winning last week at San Francisco either, but I just look at the stakes for the Dolphins, where it's like, yeah, we awesome to win this game, but boy, we can't get beat up, injured, banged up, and leave our best on the field and go into overtime and lose a game and then have to come back and play the Bills next week. Like, I'm crazy for thinking that way, but it's still in the back of my mind. Like, their big game is not this game, it's next week.
I know what you're saying, but I disagree in that a win here, Donnie, takes all the pressure off the Buffalo game, plus puts the one seed in line. I think the Buffalo game is where they can just avoid all disaster, right? But this game here is the game. This is the one that puts a Miami win here, and not that I necessarily think they will get it. It makes them surefire, undoubted Super Bowl contenders. That's what it does.
No, I know, and I hear it. Like, there's no part of my mind where, like, Tyreek Hill and Tua are like, yeah, you know what, we just got off the plane. Pff, you know, it's a little cold here today, boys. Let's, hey, coach, can I just, you know, can we just hand off and get out of here? Like, that's not going to happen. It's going to be an awesome football game to watch. But I just look at it and say to myself, if there's a game to win or put your best foot forward, it better be against that Buffalo Bills team coming to town the following week. And again, the Bills should be able to, and I don't agree with this either, Kevin. Bills laying 14 in New England, stop it. Stop it. Stop. There's no, that game is not going to be a 35-3 game where the Patriots get rolled. And the fact that the Bills also know, like, gosh, we just got to win this game and everything is in front of us next week, right? That's the way it is.
People were laying 12 on the road with Buffalo. Now you kind of flip it around and people are going to be grabbing points. I actually might lean towards the Bills at home. I just, Don, the quarter just ended in that Gator Bowl, yes, right? Mm-hmm. That sucks. I had a rushing touchdown each quarter at plus +950.
Yeah, they gave it to Shipley, too, in the last two plays. Wow, because he got one at, like, he got tackled for a loss, and then he must have got another one there. Yeah.
Oh, that's killer.
Will couldn't power in on that one for you.
That is
madness.
Now I need it to be a passing touchdown, funny enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now I need them to start the quarter on a little, you know, fake end around here. It's all good.
Roll them out of the pocket. Have some fun with that. All right. So as we're going through Saturday night again, Detroit-Dallas is going to be a great one. Miami-Baltimore, 1 o'clock, 46.5 total. 47 is probably the primary line across the board. That one should be interesting to watch it play out. Other ones, like Tennessee looks like they're going to go Will Levis now. I was just going through some of those news and notes to open up the show. Looks like he's healed up in practice and will be fine. C.J. Stroud just probably waiting for that final clearance check on concussions. That's a 4.5 game here. That's a big game for Houston. And we know how Houston, not supposed to win. Boy, they played really well. Houston's supposed to win. This game's going to be close.
Yeah, I do think there's a chance, though, that Stroud just comes out and is electric. We obviously know he was on a major heater, Donnie, before. Now, I guess I shouldn't say before the injury, because the Jets game was disastrous, no doubts. But that was, you know, a lot of weather, obviously, great defense here. I think this is one of those games, while, you know, you can say, ooh, Tennessee can hang. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I trust their offense to score enough points here. I think you have to like the under if you like the Titans.
Yeah, they're always good. That's, if there's one football team that runs it down to one on the play clock every play, not even by design, it's just what they do, they're just going to slow that football game down. Because the only way they can win, there's no way you go, oh, you know what? Up-tempo games is exactly what Tennessee does. No, it's the opposite of that. They absolutely will be running that clock all the way down. Big news also, Kevin, the Indianapolis Colts, Gardner Minshew getting his big weapon back, Michael Pittman at wide receiver. He's cleared to go. That's a 3.5. I do like, it's interesting to see, because it's hard to grade Las Vegas last week, because you might say, like, oh, offense stinks. No, their offense played exactly what they were supposed to do in the second half. Don't turn it over. Run the football. Pick up first downs. Let Kansas City implode by themselves. You're probably not going to be able to have that game plan this weekend, but 42.5. I actually like the total in that game. I think Vegas is able to move the football against Indianapolis, and I do think Indy moves it against Vegas. I think the total makes some sense in that one for me.
I'm probably just going to key in on a lot of these Michael Pittman props here in this game. I think, obviously, we know he is their number one target. Vegas has struggled mightily against number ones as well. So that's going to likely just be the key area for me in this game, Donnie, is the props market here, specifically on Michael Pittman.
Yes, and also just watching this UK coming back from break, saw a couple tweets out there that said they think Shipley was up and over the defender and there should be review.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we're getting any review right here as they're talking to Stoops on the sideline, but I can't get a feel for the camera angle or the TV. Oh, no, they switched sides. Okay, so they did officially switch sides. Other side. Yeah, ball's at the 1 yard line right now, and I guess that's.
Can I get a play action? I think it is third down. Can I get a play action? Or is it just going to be an easy handoff here?
Oh, it's not Will Shipley in the backfield, so what does that probably mean? A run? Tight formation, double tight end set. They do hand the football off.
And it looks
it looks like he got it. Yep, they got the two hands
that's
up.
Absolutely.
Another terrible rushing touchdown here. This is the way I feel betting the Jalen Hurts right now for you guys.
That's
the way I feel. You just get inside the 5, and it's like, I have no chance for a touchdown pass.
So, but I had Donnie rushing touchdown each quarter. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And we, like,
you could have got an injury, a late timeout. And anything could have happened. Yeah. Or maybe Shipley was in there, and they just like, we don't care about reviewing that thing. Because you got to walk back to the other side of the field. It's just easier to keep it down here and hope the other team scores a touchdown, which happens. All right. The one game, also game Sunday, 1 o'clock, Carolina-Jacksonville. Carolina, I think, is going to play Jacksonville close in this game. Jacksonville, we don't know who their quarterback is going to be, but we're under the guise that we are going to actually have a quarterback that's had a high ankle sprain, a concussion, and a sprain to his throwing shoulder still play. Because why? He hasn't missed a football game and is a tough guy, even if it probably makes sense to start the backup quarterback. I have no confidence in Jacksonville, and quite frankly, I would never lay the six against Carolina. And it's Carolina we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Panthers can pull this out. I think this is one of those games where is the obvious thing the right thing? Because the obvious thing is to just bet every Travis Etienne prop and number you could find against Carolina.
Stinks. What's wrong with him? What's going on with that guy?
But this is the spot for him.
Making no big plays, like in weeks.
I know.
Not the guy that's like, hey, you know, he's a play. Let's just say like Tyler Algier, right? He's like, okay, well, that's what he does. 4.5 yards per carry out here, and that's what you expect. Every play is no more than 5, no less than 4. Like every once in a while, you're supposed to be like, oh, here's the update on ETN. Oh, well, 46-yard touchdown run. Yeah, that sounds about right. Doesn't do any of that. Step it up there, ETN. I need them. I need them to win that division here to give me a chance at closing in on some of these tickets here. A lot more football to go, which includes next, let's take a look at the college football playoff from the San Gabriel Mountains, people. Get excited. It's Moneyline here. It's a Friday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Turnovers, turnovers, and more turnovers as Klubnik is limping off of the field after throwing a horrendous interception into the end zone, which he got hit on, and Kentucky still holds that lead. A play.
No, wait, hold on. Klubnik just threw a pick?
Yeah, Klubnik just threw a pick, yes. He was going for the end zone, got rocked in the back, and that ball just, it looked like the Kentucky kid was the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, he just threw it right to the safety here. And by the way, even if, I don't know who he was throwing to, I don't even think that was going to be a completion anyway. So, just a tough play all the way around. Klubnik now with an INT as Clemson was looking to take the lead. So, they're no longer going to take the lead there. So, there you go, K-Dub. Still hoping for that touchdown pass. That one could have been it right there.
Instead, the gift taken away immediately. Why do I put
multiple,
you know,
multiple touchdowns here. Tomlin confirms also through the newswire Mason Rudolph will in effect start. I feel like Mike Tomlin said it's been reported he's starting like every single day, just in a different way. Like, I don't know what to expect, as if somebody else was going to start for him. I don't know.
But this is where like Tomlin gets himself in trouble.
Like that's the expectation, he says all week. Like, what does that mean?
But Donnie, right? Like, he's about to go out there and go, you know, around 500 between Pickett, Trubisky, and Rudolph. Right? And it's like, wow, that's impressive. That's like coach of the year. Like, a lot of coaches, right, Donnie, be like, man, is that coach of the year level? But then, just like that, it's, what's Tomlin's fault? Tomlin is the one who just keeps signing up for these guys. And that's where he loses any kind of benefit of the doubt with this stuff.
By the way, the picture or the meme that goes around with like Mason Rudolph whenever somebody says his name, it's always in one of those, like, you know, let's just say a National Reporter lists it. The part where his head is like half caved in, like while he's on the sideline just watching the game from the sidelines, never not makes me laugh, man. I mean, just unbelievable stuff here. Whoever made that meme, congratulations. That is absolutely stupendous and tremendous here. All right. Sunday football action, Kev, as we go down the line. Eh, Rams, Giants, no big deal there. Arizona, Philadelphia, no big deal there, right? New Orleans, Tampa Bay, I don't know why that line's 2.5. It looks fishy as all get out because Tampa Bay is playing so much better than New Orleans, but I guess just a lot on the line. It keeps it a little bit lower. San Francisco, Washington, that's up to 14 now. Brissett on one leg. Brutalness all the way through. The best game of the day is at 1 o'clock, which I still can't get over that. I still can't.
I don't know. I think, but hold on. A part of that just has to be your own personal frustration that you have to drive during that window.
I know it's not. I always get angry like stuff. Like, I don't understand why that game is there. Now, granted, you could have said the same thing. Oh, we'll put that at 8 o'clock. Like, come on. Even though it's New Year's Eve, I'll probably be in bed by 9 so they get angry. But I don't know why that's 1 o'clock. It's baffling to me.
Well, I think the reality is they just have not flexed a lot of football this year, right? I mean, I guess, see, this is the, like, Bengals Chiefs, Donnie, if Burrow was playing, would be the 425, mm-hmm. and it's like, well, of course that's the 4, like, of course that's the 425. But, you know, now that you say it, like, why would they have not got pushed this game to Sunday night?
One of the games of the year. Everybody's, like, it's fresh
and it was always going to be,
yes,
right?
Fresh off Baltimore, Miami's the hot team out there, they're going to tee it up, and it's like, oh, well, there's no stakes, everybody, no, this is literally, like, the number one seed game for the AFC. It's like, you know what? Stack that bad boy at one. They're like, look, we can't interrupt Cincinnati, Kansas City. No, that's,
but forget, you know, Cincinnati and Kansas City, Donnie. You're allowed to flex games.
Yeah.
And the current game is a game between two teams under 500. Now, you have to, what, flex it 2 weeks out, a week out, whatever it might be?
Yeah,
we knew Miami-Baltimore was going to be massive.
Yeah,
but did Tyreek get injured?
If they got beat up by the 49ers.
I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand why this game is not flagged. Like, did Tyreek get injured? And then they were like, oh, you know what? This game might be terrible because Tyreek's injured. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
only thing they flexed was the Chiefs-Patriots game out of Monday night, putting the Eagles on a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it should be moved to a 4 o'clock. It should be 4:25. That should be the national game. We'll get banger ratings. But it's like the NFL is all about ratings, right? When you go to your ratings book and be like, oh, the 4 o'clocks weren't that good. And they go, well, if we would have just put Miami-Baltimore, we'd have had another one of those tweets come out Tuesday morning like, did you see this? 28 million people watched this game at 4 o'clock. Now you don't have that. You have no 4 o'clock. Oh, yeah, Chargers-Denver, fantastic. Pittsburgh-Seattle, I mean, come on. Cincinnati-Kansas City, stop. So it is interesting the way that plays out. Now, let's talk a little college football. January 1st. Big time game. Alabama and Michigan. Now, I was talking about this morning about this game, Kevin. It feels like, you know, it's graded as, on the sports books, whoever wins this game is going to be the national champion, right? They'll be the favorite to win it, and so goes. But I look at this game, there's so much being put into this. Like, I feel like if you win this game, like Alabama or Michigan, you feel like you won the national championship, then go, we still got to play next week here. Like, I really think Washington and Texas, them playing their game and having a slugfest, which I really think it's going to be between Alabama and Michigan, really benefits them.
Just because Bama, Michigan is going to be that much more difficult.
The Rose Bowl, the game, like, you want to watch. Like, there's no surprise that they put that game out in the Rose Bowl at that time slot. You know, it's one of the best time spots in sports on New Year's Day. It's going to do unbelievable ratings, and it feels like it's the national championship game. But they win that, and then they still got to play in a real national championship game the next week. Like, if I think, like, Alabama and Michigan were split up, like, the hype would be split between the two games. Now, and I'm not knocking Texas and Washington. It's two great football teams going toe-to-toe in a big environment. But if you're asking anybody, like, hey, guys, if there's one game you need to watch on New Year's Day, it's Alabama-Michigan in a landslide.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge game. I'm not arguing that at all, but I don't think that Texas and Washington are any less going excited and going to having to be poor any less into their games. And also, I mean, look, I know that you think Michigan could win this game, but Donnie, if Alabama wins this game 24-10, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yep. I don't think anyone would be like, oh my God, I never saw this coming. I can't believe this happened, right?
No.
Well, hold on, right? So then, and then Texas Washington is 38-35.
Yep.
Just an absolute, you know, war machine type of game.
Clemson pick. Here we go, Kev. You're getting another shot at the 35.
I mean, now where's the
hype
ball?
Now?
I mean, throw it.
35-yard line.
First play pass.
Now how would you like this? Like a double reverse flea flick where, like, the wide receiver throws you, like, just as good.
Just as good. All we could ever ask for type of situation there.
It's so great, too. When you're betting over 1.5 touchdowns. Like, they pull that and the running back throws a touchdown mm-hmm. pass. Like, you rip your TV out of the wall. It's like, this is not fair. This is not what we signed up for. But nice play by Clemson on a deflection from it. Wow. The same defensive lineman made the the deflection and jumped back and intercepted the pass. That is an unbelievable play.
Wait, again?
Whoever number zero is. No, no. That was the replay that was showing up. Oh, you would have liked another back-to-back turnovers?
Yeah. By the way, number zero, I believe, was like the SEC defensive lineman of the year, defensive player of the year. I mean, I don't know who this kid is. I'm going to be totally honest with you, Donnie. Sounds like he's the greatest player in the history of football. Now, what's going on
out there? I don't know. The club that went out left and threw a punt pass out here, which is now a flag on the play, which I don't see how the flag could be on Clemson, or maybe it's on a DB. They're squaring it out. They're setting it up, but not much going on here. But let's get back to what game flow on Monday. Alabama, Michigan. We know Michigan's not throwing the football, right? If they had their druthers in this game, they might not throw a pass as long as their running game is working. But that total is so low. We talk about the Novocaine offenses from back in the 80s and 90s in high school. Just keep on running the football. Eventually, you'll wear the team down. And you've seen that a couple times with Michigan this year. That Quorum's not doing much. And, what did he do in the second half? Yeah, because the defensive worn out. Are we under or over in that game?
I think my early lean would actually push towards the over in the game because I don't think it is going to be an option for Michigan to run the football 29 times in a row. They have to throw the ball a little bit. You know, the Joe Lisi, great tendency. Look, Tony, J.J. McCarthy is a guy that at one point was the Heisman favorite and people believe has NFL round one potential. So this really should be a fairly – it is going to be an option for Michigan to throw the ball. Will they? That's to be seen.
All right, let me take a look at some of these other updated numbers. 44.5, obviously still -1.5. And I said when the game – and by the way, this is it's a double reverse, but they didn't throw a pass. Clemson now inside the 10, Kevin, first and goal.
Yeah,
now, look, little read option here. Put it in the stomach, pull it back out. Little toss to a wide open
little tight end.
Flat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
You're getting your chances now in this spot here, but we'll keep you updated if they score a touchdown in this game. But taking a look at Alabama and Michigan. -200 still for Corum. Milroe +100 to score. McClellan +195. Roman Wilson then would be your guy. Right? For an anytime touchdown. If it's like, hey, you know what? Break tendencies. We got to throw the football. That's the guy.
Well, that is actually where I'll agree with you. When they get in there, there's no more breaking tendencies. You know what, JJ? You're not making a damn mistake down here. Blake, you know what I mean?
We're throwing. Clemson's throwing. Klubnik's throwing.
Come on.
Horrendous pass. Wide receiver's out of the end zone. So second and goal, which is actually good because here's what you don't want, though. DC coming, you're on the sideline. He's like, we can't throw this ball. Just hand it off 3 straight times. Let's see if we can get in here.
Yeah.
But nobody was wide open on that play at all. It was terrible setup, by the way, by Clemson.
Now you got me dialed. Don, it's J.J. McCarthy prop. You can't like Michigan and not like the 15.5 rush yards. How many times could this kid get sacked if he doesn't get 15.5 rush yards in a big game?
Milroe?
No, McCarthy. 15.5.
Yeah.
You can't tell me. Is he not?
I don't know. I don't watch enough of him to know if he even runs. Now, talk about running. Hold on now. Now, Klubnik just said, I'm going to run and I'm going to lose a yard, on a design quarterback draw.
On a second down.
The best part about this, Klubnik came into Clemson, look, get DJU out of here, one of the highest recruits we've ever had here, because this kid is the guy in the waiting, and we still waiting. And I think the wait's over. I don't know if he could play all that well. Jeez, man.
He's their starter coming back. Yeah, I mean, it's now or not. Here's the thing, Doc. It's a four-down territory.
That's what I was just going to say. It's too early. And that's a shame. If that was 3.5, you're I got 2 plays. I'll take it. If that's all it is.
Oh, did Notre Dame just miss that field goal? This kid takes a terrible sack. At least he's got me on this over. See, this is what happens. I have one successful night betting the Alamo Bowl, and now I'm rooting in Tony the Tiger Bowl. I mean, what a disaster.
All right, we're passing again, Kevin. We're passing. We're in the pocket. We're getting sack stripped and fumbling. because I'm rooting the touchdown pass on, but every pass play is terrible. Either it's an interception or he just can't even he steps up in the pocket and the guy just reaches his hand that football's mine, thanks. Now they got it back, so they're gonna kick a field goal, but my goodness, man, who's designing this offensive scheme here? Klubnik getting ripped on the sideline by somebody's a coaching staff, but they're lining up for a field goal with 7 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, down 5, so it does make sense in order to do that here. So there you go.
All right, there you go.
And Oregon State Giants got a first down here after a second and 10 slip pass. So keeping the people updated on the football games, but I am looking forward to Monday's action. Now, the second game, which obviously we don't have too much longer in the show to do, but we'll come back after the break and talk about it as well. Texas-Washington. It should go over 62.5, but I feel like the layoff, the bigness of the game, maybe a little bit of a slower start here. But I got to tell you right now, if there's one guy I'm going after this game, it's probably going to be Jalen McMillan. Anytime touchdown, maybe close to 100 yards in this game. But I also want a piece of Dylan Johnson. They're my two guys. I think Washington wins, and I think those are the two guys I want to focus on here. How about that?
I mean, Roma Dunze has typically been Mr. Security Safe when it comes to that, but I get your point.
There we go. Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network, and it says right now an update from an hour ago. Still not sure if Marvin Harrison Jr. is playing or not playing. That means he isn't playing. Stop the madness. My goodness here. We'll be back to close it down. Fantastic week right here on the grid with Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kentucky with their 19th straight turnover, back-to-back-to-back-to-back, it feels like, as they fumble the football in their own territory. Now, here it is. It's 6:52 left, which is to Kevin's savior, because if it was 3:52, it's 20, let's see, 25, he's at the 30. This is the one, just watch. Oh, he stripped him at the 30. Clemson has the ball at the 27-yard line going in now on Kentucky. Two-point game. You're not playing for the field goal here, because you never should play for the field goal. Unless there's 2 minutes to go and say, okay, let's play the game. You have so long to get this. Let's see what Clemson does. I feel like you have 9 lives in this game, by the way, to get this final touchdown pass. But I'm getting more of a fun vibe of just watching Klubnik go get worse, and now they're in like a pistol multiple formation, just handing the football off. Oh, no, he's in. Yeah, he in. He ran it in.
Rushing touchdown?
Yeah, rushing touchdown. Yeah.
How's that even possible?
Mafa.
30-yard rushing touchdown?
Yep, 29 yards, right up there, not even touched. Clemson takes the lead. They're going to win the bowl. My goodness. Well, maybe get another turnover here from Clemson. Seems to be what they like to do at this point here.
But, the rushing touchdown each quarter, how is that not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on. How does that even happen?
That's the only way it does happen at that point there. So there you go. Clemson back up one play, 29 yards, 6-second drive here. And away we go. It looks like Clemson is going to, maybe Dabo's going to have a nice little post-game presser telling everybody, look, if you weren't with us before, don't get on the bandwagon in the offseason. As they go for 2 points again, see if they get it. Notre Dame, by the way, inside their own 5-yard line on 2nd and 13. Quarterback runs up the middle. Fumbles the football, which I think you like. Let's see if Oregon gets this. Let's see. Oregon State, who gets it? Big pile. Nobody pointing, which is a bad thing.
Yeah, nobody points always bad. Exactly.
Even if you don't even get it, just point the other way. By the way, Alvin Kamara feeling sick on a Friday. Congratulations, New Orleans. Your season is an absolute mess right now. Everybody, enjoy your holiday weekend. Big programming coming up here on the Sports Grid Network throughout this weekend. Don't go anywhere. For Christian, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin, we will see you next week.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.